Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the show, Aaron Letzizer.
Thanks, Victor. Glad to be here.
Well, great to have you here. Now, Aaron, you've been at this game for a while, but maybe before we dive into the details, perhaps give a little bit of your backstory and how you got to this point in your journey.
Sure. So my background, I thought I was going to go to law school. Didn't end up doing that. My brother had just started a real estate investment fund right around that period of time. That's what gave me the bug into the space. And I had always been an entrepreneur, always been a business owner, wanted to work for myself, didn't want to get into a world of billable hours. And so that's really what led us onto this journey. And ultimately now we're providing additional services to that real estate investment class just through our own frustrations of needing to find a solution to the thing that we were facing on a day-to-day basis.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, we are, as investors, as developers, are facing rising costs across the board. We're facing relatively flat rents. Taxes are going up, but chief among those is insurance. I've seen or heard of insurance increases, especially some areas along the Gulf Coast, of 500 to 700% increases. That's far from the Fed's 2% target. And wondering how any real estate owner is supposed to make it work with those kind of increases.
Yeah, it's brutal. There's certainly no way of sugarcoating it, but I think there's a couple of important pieces there. I think that the last 10 years have seen, I think, an explosion inside that, you know, that real estate investment class, especially on the residential side. And insurance was really just a byproduct, right? The market was good. And so the prices you were getting, it works on pro forma, right? You can make it pencil. And so I think this is the first time that we're moving into a space where the insurance market is also catching up with the explosion of this asset class over the last decade. And so you're getting really a hit from, you know, the inflation cost, catastrophic claims that are coming about, as well as just insurance, I think, getting a little smarter in this space. And so the challenge is you got a ton of investors then that really relied on, you know, that investment sales broker's pro forma, right? In terms of what the previous owner was paying or what you've been paying over the last several years. And I think finally now, as you mentioned, with rents, certain markets stagnating, people are paying attention to those line item costs. And I think insurance is one of those things that's really going to be a massive driver, I think, for the first time in a really long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the question is, as a property owner, what levers do you have to pull that can actually make a difference? Or are you simply got to lie back and take it to just be the victim of whatever the insurance company throws at you?
Well, I'd say if you decided to buy something on stilts right on top of the beach, it might be just taking what you can get at this point. But in most of the other markets, I would say the first thing that I always tell real estate investors is find an insurance broker, find an insurance partner that really knows and understands the space. That's really for two reasons. The first is that you and I, as real estate investors, we have a different way of looking at this asset, right? Depending on the certain cap rate that you might have, every $1,000 you're saving might be adding $20,000 in portfolio value. Maybe you want to go through disposition. Maybe you have all your properties on a schedule and you want to take one off, so it actually looks a little bit better on paper if you get its own individual policy versus bundling it. And so those are the things that you get, I think, with an insurance partner that knows and understands the space. And then the second reason that you want to do that is that there's more carriers out there than just the main ones that are buying a Super Bowl ad. In fact, most of the ones that probably offer the best programs in this space are the ones that most people have never heard of. And so they only work with insurance agents and insurance brokers that do a lot of volume in this space. They don't want to do kind of the person that might quote them once or twice a month. Maybe they have a couple policies with you. That's not worth it for them. And so the folks that can actually put up big numbers and actually drive a lot of business through that carrier, those are the ones that are going to get access to those markets. And you're going to get access to that as a result of working with somebody that really makes this a priority in their space.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've heard a lot of brokers advocating carrying a certain, maybe just a high deductible. That's maybe a fancy word of for saying self-insuring up to a point and then working with reinsurance or, you know, multiple layers of insurance to help reduce some of those costs. What are your thoughts on that approach?
It's a good approach if that's what works for you. And also as an investor, you can sleep well at night knowing that, right? Like that's the worst part of any type of job is the one that keeps you up at night. And so based on the economics of your portfolio, if you can stomach a $50,000 deductible, if you can, as you know, you said you're almost self-insuring, if you can stomach a $100,000 deductible, if you're talking a large commercial asset or a large multifamily asset, then the numbers can make sense, right? You can find carriers that are more interested in doing that because they don't want that first dollar, right? They don't want that person that's going to come into them and have a bunch of really small, frivolous, or really just minor claims, right? And so it is a strategy that folks can employ. And then beyond that, it's about making sure then that you also have the right amount of coverage. And that's something that we're starting to see a lot amongst folks is that, you know, we've seen people that have really low deductibles, but not really enough coverage, right? They haven't changed their coverage in 3, 5, 7, 10 years from when they first bought that asset. And so you have a deductible that's screaming at you to say, hey, this is your insurance, use it, right? You wanted that $2,500 deductible. You wanted that $5,000 deductible, but then you don't really have enough coverage to be able to actually make it worthwhile. And so those are the things that you really want to pay attention to and do that math to figure out what that savings looks like for you.
Any insurance company will happily take your money. The second you make a claim, they're going to send the policy off to legal. And at that point, you become legal adversaries. They're going to try and figure out, is there some way that they can avoid paying? Is there some schedule? Because often when you actually read through the policy, there will be parts of the policy that contradict each other. So which one takes precedence and so on. Are there things you can do apart from just deductibles, making sure you have the right amount of coverage? Is it the right quality of coverage, making sure that you have a broad form policy as opposed to named perils? Is there a particular strategy that you advocate in particular for multifamily apartment owners?
Right now, given where the insurance market is at, there is no better time to sit down with your agent. And listen, like, you know, and I say this with love as an agent, if you've got a large multifamily building, you're making your agent a good amount of money. Let's be honest. That commission isn't unattractive. And so because of that, you want to make sure that you're actually sitting down with that agent and running through the policy document around the things that you know are most often to occur. To your point, Victor, sure, there's sometimes those random, like, you know, freak accidents that occur, or the thing that nobody really thought of, right? And you're trying to figure out, how does this policy document really approach that? And you're ready, you know, it could end up in legal and somebody's going to have a very unique interpretation of what you think just happened. But for most folks, there's a really good idea about what are the things that are actually going to impact you. Is it wind? Is it hurricane, right? Are you in more of tornado alley? What about inside the unit, right? Those fires that, you know, the tenant leaves the stove on, right? Or ultimately has a fire that starts inside the oven. They open up the door and suddenly you get a lot more oxygen and there goes your kitchen or maybe even your unit. Those are the things that you as an owner are going to be very familiar with, right? You know the things that happen in this unit. Sit down with your agent and run through that. Get an understanding, to your point, about what a broad form policy looks like, those named perils. It sounds what it is, right? It's going to cover the things that are specifically named. Or you want that open peril concept. It's everything that isn't specifically included. And so those are the things you want to sit down with your agent well before the actual renewal. And I will say, in deference to my fellow agents, it's not usually the agent that isn't sending you that quote right before that renewal, right? Everybody wants that renewal 30, 60, 90 days prior. We're always sitting there waiting for the carrier typically, right? Because that carrier also doesn't want to lose the business. And they also want as much information about the market as humanly possible. And so sitting down with your agent, running through what they think that might look like, again, having an agent that knows and understands this space will have a very much hand in glove type of relationship with their underwriters of these carriers. And you can start to get a sense on what this looks like and what the strategy is going to be for your asset going forward.
Are there things that are worth investing in, whether it is leak detection hardware, things like that, that apart from just being a prudent thing to do, actually can make a difference in terms of your overall insurance costs?
100%. Folks come to us and they say, hey, I want to install leak detection. Will I get a credit on my premium, right? Will it go down? And unfortunately, I would say insurance is a centuries old industry. They still don't know what to do with that. But that doesn't mean that it's not a good investment. And the reason being is you're going to see the benefit of that after something happens, right? Some type of incident that you've been able to mitigate. So you mentioned leak detection. There's ones now that will shut off actually the main water valve in the event that it does that. That's a little more expensive. And then there's cheaper options too, which we've seen to be very effective. There are devices out there called fire stops, right? They're about the size of a hockey puck. They're magnetic. They sit right above the stove, right underneath your microwave or the hood there. And in the event it gets too hot, right there, it will disperse widely a white powder that will immediately extinguish that fire. And we have seen real instances where that has completely saved not only probably a kitchen, but probably the entire unit or the building. And so that's something that's $20 per fire stop. It lasts you 5 to 6 years. That's a great investment. And much like the water leak detection, the reason it's a great investment is you're not going to make a claim. Insurance isn't at a point yet where they can say, hey, Victor, I love that you got water leak detection. I'm going to give you a 10% discount. They're not there yet. We're getting there, but it takes them a very long time to use that data to get comfortable with an underwriting change. But what you are doing is stopping that increase in premium. You're not making that claim when you otherwise would have needed to, which is going to make you less competitive out there in the market. And that's what's inherently going to drive up your insurance costs on the next renewal.
Absolutely. Well, Aaron, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
Best way is directly through our website. So it's obiinsurance.com. That's O-B-I-E insurance.com. Or you can email me directly at aaron@obiinsurance.com.
Fantastic. Well, Aaron, love what you're doing. And for the listeners at home, definitely connect with Aaron Letzizer at obiinsurance.com. The link will be in the show notes. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.